friends, and we're chatting away, and we're waiting for this ride. And you know, in those queues, they're like unspeakably long, aren't they? These queues sometimes, and you have to walk past these marker points that say, you know, like 3 hours left until you get to your ride, and 2 hours left, or whatever. And we're sort of just slowly making our way through this queue. And to be totally honest with you, my 16-year-old self, whilst appeared very calm on the outside, couldn't really explain or tell or want to tell my friends that I was literally terrified of about the ride that I could see. Because in the queue, and this is how they tease you, in the queue you can see how terrifying it is, because it's literally right in front of you and it happens over and over and over again as you spend 3 hours queuing to get on this ride that lasts about a few seconds. So we're making our way down the queue. In this ride, you sit on a two-row carriage, which has probably about 10 or 15 people on each row. Okay, so 25, 30 people. Okay, the ride takes you very slowly, painfully slowly, as if they designed it that way, up a very steep slope. Okay, and you go up this slope, and it takes you around a corner. Now, when you get to the corner, you suddenly realize that they're taking you to the edge of what looks like a vertical drop. Okay? Awful. Okay? The corner goes round. They take you to the edge of this drop, and they don't just throw you round it. They stop you at the overhang, and they just hang you there for between 2 to 5 seconds, depending on what's ever going on in the control center at that point. They just hang you over the edge. And so you're hanging over the edge. It's a 55-foot drop, and it's a black hole, basically, that you just get launched into. Okay? You're going about 70 miles an hour down this thing, and then you just appear at the other end in a daze, and it all happened, and you're still alive, hopefully. So I'm in the queue with my friends, and we're chatting away, and I don't know how long it took for us to realize that that the ride had broken, but it was, yeah, the ride was broken, but it was long enough to make us realize that we needed just to stay in the queue because we've been queuing long enough already. The thing that really made us realize that the ride was broken was when we looked up. I'm not joking, okay? This is a real thing, it happened. The ride had broken with the people stuck on the overhang. Okay? 25 to 30 people, the ride is broken, and they're stuck like this, just looking down 55 meters at a black hole. It literally. At some point, I don't know if they fixed it, but they definitely dropped the 55 feet at 70 miles an hour and came out the other side and didn't die. So whatever happened was, it works at that point. And then the ride just sort of stops, and we're just standing there. And then what they do is they decide they're just going to send empty carriage after empty carriage after empty carriage round and round and round. And we just get to watch all these empty carriages go round and round and round. And then we get to our turn on the queue. And I just still, to this day, I cannot understand why I still decided to go on this thing, having seen what happened. Well, having seen the ride working, first of all, and then seen it break in front of my eyes, and then we got on. So I'm now on the carriage with my friends, sort of chatting and sort of like sweaty palms clinging on as tight as I can. And we're going up the ramp. And would you believe it? At the up the top of the ramp, we get stuck. We're just sitting there. Just get stuck. And then the ride breaks with us on it. And we just sit there. Until the point at which they decide it's working again. But at that point, I mean, it's broken. It's been broken, and I haven't got off it, and they're still going to send me round. And so we go up, and we go around the corner, and I get to the overhang, and I'm there for what seems like an eternity. It's probably about 3 seconds, and I drop 55 feet at 70 miles an hour, and I come out this other side, and I haven't died, and it's all fine. But that experience of that roller coaster has marked my feelings towards the roller coaster and my actions. I don't think I've been on one since. I don't think. I want to be telling the truth that I can't tell you for sure because my memory's not great, but I think I've not been on one since. That experience marked me. Now, all of us in this room will have had experiences that have marked us that are a lot less silly than that. Experiences that have marked us that actually are really serious and have really impacted us, and you're walking life having been marked by something, and it influences the decisions you make and the way in which you live your life. It's probably fair to say that for some of us, the marks that are left on us by life impact the sense of wholeness we experience, particularly in the way that we relate towards God and the way we relate towards people. This evening, I want to talk about another mark. I want to talk about another kind of mark that I think is often neglected. I think it's often misunderstood. It's a mark I actually think we forget about because we're so used to it being around. As I was preparing for this message, I came across this quote. It said this: "Love is not an optional virtue for the believer. It is the distinguishing mark of the church in the world." Love is not an optional virtue for the believer. It's the distinguishing mark of the church in the world. So, Mark, if we could have my title slide up, that would be great. This evening, the title of my message is Birthmark. Birthmark. This evening, I want to talk about another kind of mark. If you've got a Bible, I'd love you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 to 21 together, and then we're going to focus just on one verse tonight, just on one verse. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7 says this: "Dear friends," or as other translations write, which I much prefer, "beloved. Beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that they will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." Amazing bit of writing. Amazing, amazing portion of scripture. This is going to be our focus for an undisclosed amount of time. We're just going to dig deeply into the revelation that God has for us out of this passage. Our primary focus for this evening is going to be verse 7. Just verse 7. Which says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." Beloved, dear ones, you very loved ones, is what John is saying. Dear ones, love one another, for love is from God. The rest of my message is going to be split mainly into two sections. Part one is called The Perfect Conditions. Many of you will know that the way that Greeks approached love was very different to the way that we approach it now, particularly in the way they described it. Many of you will know that the Greeks had a whole bunch of different words for love because they understood that love couldn't just be boxed into one word. There were so many different expressions and meanings and definitions of love in the way they lived. And so they found lots of different words to depict the reality and the depth of what love was really like. They couldn't box it into one like we do. And because we box our definition of love into one word, it limits our understanding. So, like, I obviously really, really love my family, but I obviously really love Jaffa Cakes. And I do really love Jaffa Cakes, by the way. It would not be unknown for me at university to go through a box of 36 in one sitting. I just used to love Jaffa Cakes. Agreement. Freya's like, obviously. Yeah, I also love Jaffa Cakes. So I love my family, but I also really love Jaffa Cakes. The word in this verse and in this passage, which many of you will have heard before, is the word agape. That's the word for love. A beautiful and a powerful word. So, beloved, let us agape one another. For agape is from God. Whoever agapes has been born of God and knows God. Many of us will have heard that phrase, love isn't just a feeling, it's a choice. You heard that phrase? Love's just not something you feel, it's a choice. I'm really sorry if you haven't heard that phrase and I'm bursting your love bubble, but love isn't just a feeling, it's a choice. Really well-known phrase. We all understand like the cognitive reality of that being true. Love isn't just something I feel, it's something that I have to choose. We understand that cognitively. It's a phrase that we can engage with. Practically, that has a whole different, it's a whole different ballgame. To engage with that on a practical level means something really, really, really different, I think. Love's not just a choice, it's not just a feeling, it's a choice. How many of you know that it's just much easier to love when the other person loves you back? It's much easier to love when it feels good, when you're attracted to the other person, when they haven't hurt you or upset you. It's much easier to love when you're not feeling broken by the person sat across from you. It's much easier to love when the conditions are just right, isn't it? It's much easier to love when the conditions are just right. And I say that word conditions on two levels. I say conditions on an external level and an internal level. So the conditions, like the external conditions, the other people, the things like sailing, the conditions for sailing were perfect today. It's an external thing. The conditions externally are perfect. The other person just loves me back. It's fantastic. They've never hurt me or upset me. That thing over there, perfect conditions. I also mean it internally, as in the conditions that we put on love in ourselves, the conditions that we create for love. So as long as the person loves me back, I'll love them too. As long as no one hurts me, I think I can love you. As long as you didn't break me or say that thing, I reckon I can probably love you. There are both external and internal conditions that we put on love that limit our ability to love in the way that God has called us and asked us to really love. And because we have a one-word definition for love, we become really limited in our perspective of what it really is. So, this word agape. The thing with this word agape is that it's not about condition. It's like anti-conditions. Or you could say unconditional. Right? Unconditional. No conditions. Agape is the kind of love that puts no conditions on whether it's given. Agape breaks outside our normal definition of love, which really mainly includes feelings, emotion, attraction, sentimentality. Agape is selfless in its nature. It seeks the highest good of another without the attention to cost. Agape, at its root, is the kind of love that you give through your will and your choice. Agape is a deeply powerful word. I do not agape Jaffa cakes. I do agape Helena. Agape is without condition. But the reality is, in the way that we live and the way in which we love, because this is the goal, remember the goal? To learn to be more fully loved and to love more fully. Beloved, let us love, let us agape one another, for agape is from God. We're so often marked by the actions, the phrases of other people around us, that we're almost rendered powerless in our ability to choose love. And that's a part of the tricky deal with both love and choice. Love on its own is very powerful, and choice on its own is a very powerful thing. When love and choice are paired up together, you're dealing in very powerful things right there. How many of you have withheld your love from someone else because you needed to still feel powerful in the relationship? How many of you have chosen your choice? You've chosen not to love someone because of what they did, and I'm not saying what they did wasn't horrible and harmful. Please don't hear me say that. But how many of you have chosen to withhold your love because you need to maintain power in the relationship? Love and choice are very, very powerful things. But beloved, we are both marked by agape and we are called to agape. Love without condition. Selfless. Always giving without wanting anything back. Always seeking the highest good of the other, regardless of the cost. We are marked by and called towards a love that looks like that. Beloved, let us love, let us agape one another, for agape is from God. The thing is, it's impossible for us to just drum up agape. On your own, you cannot agape. It's impossible. You don't have the ability to agape. Just not in you. Sorry. It's not in you. Except if the conditions are right. What does this verse say? Beloved, let us agape one another, for agape is from God. Agape is divine in its source. It's divine in its nature. Later on in this passage, in verse 19, we hear that very famous verse. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. We agape because he first agaped us. We agape because he first did it. Agape love is rooted, grounded, like origined in him. He is the source. And when the verse says that it's from God, it means literally that it flows from him. Agape, it flows from him. And so if we're going to fulfill, beloved, if we're going to fulfill the mark on our lives and the call on our lives to agape love, we better be connected to the source. We better be living like in the flow, because agape comes from, it flows from God. So our love is very conditional by nature. But the love we're called to is not. Part one. Part two. I've called this, "If Only You Knew." If only you knew. The second part of our verse reveals two really important things about our love and our wholeness. Let's say the verse again, right from the top. "Beloved, let us agape one another, for agape is from God. And whoever agapes has been" what? Look at your Bibles. Let's go. Has been what? Born of God and knows God. Yeah. Whoever agapes has been born of God and knows God. Fantastic. So basically what this is saying is that if we demonstrate agape love, if agape love is actually coming out of us, if we have an ability to agape, if we have that, two things are present. If agape is present, it means two other things are present. Number one, we've been born of God. Number two, that we know God. Because if you're not born of God and you don't know God, you can't agape. Those two things have to be present. So the question is, which I know you're dying to ask, is, am I born of God? And do I know God? If I was to quickly flick over to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, it would say this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." 2 Corinthians 5, 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." What this verse does is it speaks beautifully into what happens when we put our faith in Jesus. When we are born of God, when we are born again, and we are in Christ. This is what happens. We become a new creation. Now, let's get our perspective on new really, really good here. Okay? New is not like upcycled. Okay? "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation," is not like you sanded down, painted up and polished up a little bit and just sort of kicked out into the charity shop. It's just, that is not new here. That's not what it means. "The old has gone away and the new has come." Some would translate this word "new" as like prototype. So, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a prototype creation, like never seen before. Completely unique, one of a kind prototype, just new creation, totally, totally new." Other people would translate this word, that something that has come into being that was never previously present before. Okay? Something that has now arrived in the world that wasn't there before. Okay? New. Now, I know that many of us battle with this, because if only you knew, right? If only you knew me. If only you knew what I was thinking about or the things that I do. If only you knew. We battle because we feel like, well, we're not new creations, are we? That's what we feel like. And so we often disqualify ourselves from being a new creation because, well, if you only knew. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you have put, this evening, if you sit before in front of me and you've put your faith in Jesus, therefore, if you are in Christ, there has never been one person on planet Earth that is like you, that has been or will ever be. You are completely, wholly, utterly unique. Isn't that a miracle? Right? No one like you ever before or ever again. You're a totally new creation. You've been born again. And when you got born again, you got given a birthmark. And your birthmark was the ability to agape. Because before you were born again, you never had the ability. You were not marked by the ability to agape. Not possible. You couldn't do it. Because when we hear about agape, that's what we think, isn't it? There's no way I could love like that. There's no way I could just seek the highest good of another person, regardless of the cost. There's no way that I could just give and keep giving without taking anything. That's what we think. There's no way this is possible. And you're right, it's not possible. But when you put your faith in Jesus, and when you became a literally new thing, never seen before, completely new person on planet Earth that's never, like, that wasn't present before, when you did that, you received a new mark, and that mark was the ability to agape. Because you couldn't do it before, and now you can. Beloved, let us agape one another, for agape is from God. Anyone who agapes has been born of God and knows God. If only you knew. But it's not really about what people know about you or what you think they know about you. If only you knew. It's not about that. It's not about you. It's about him knowing you. And it's about you knowing that he knows you. We need to get over ourselves a little bit. If only you knew, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you think you know about me. It honestly doesn't matter at the end of the day what I think about myself. The only thing that matters as a new creation is what I know God thinks about me and me knowing that God loves me and knows me. That's what matters. Because if I can believe that, I can stop disqualifying myself from my ability to agape. Which is what I do on an all too regular basis. My firm belief that we've sold love short in the way that we live our lives. And I believe that God is calling us to a higher value over this season, which is exciting. Everyone who agapes has been born again, born of God, new birthmark. I'm not saying that the marks that you carry around with you every day are not valid, that they don't hurt. But I'm asking you in this moment not to forget about the mark you received when you became a Christian and you put your faith in Jesus. Because something that wasn't possible before literally is now possible. You can literally love in a supernatural way. Is it like that's amazing? Isn't it? Well, I mean, wow. I think it is. It blows my mind. I couldn't do that before, and now I can. I mean, Anyone who agapes has been born of God, but they also know God. And that word, know, to know God, is like to know in your experience. It's to know, not just, not because you've got told it a bunch of times. To know because you've experienced it. Because you know that you're not the same as you were before you were in Christ. Because one time you were out of Christ, and now you're in him. And there's a big difference. So to be born of God, you receive a new birthmark. And to know God is to know in your experience. If you can demonstrate your agape love, two things are present. You're a new creation, born again, and that you know God. Those two things are just incredibly important. Beloved, let us agape one another. For agape is from God. Everyone who agapes has been born of God and knows God. I'm fully aware there's a challenge in it, and I don't want to hide away from that at all. I want to call us as a community up to another level. Because there are people in this community who need agape, aren't there? I need agape. I need love without condition. And there are people that you know that need agape. There are people right now that will come to mind when I say, is there anyone in your life that you find really hard to love? There'll be someone that comes to your mind. That person needs agape. That person doesn't need your condition-based love. That person needs agape. And so I want to just take a moment just to sit. Okay? I want to take a moment just to sit. And I want you to do a couple of different things. I want you to just ponder on the challenge, or ponder on the things that are coming up for you as we begin this series. And I want you also to ponder on that question. Do you have anyone in your life that you really struggle to love right now? I want you to find a way to write that name down somewhere, put it in your phone, or write it on some paper, whatever it is. Now, I have no idea why that person would be that person for you, and it's going to be a whole host of different range of different things. And I'm not going to speak into why that person might be that person, but I want to call you to fulfill the mark and the calling on your life to agape. So let's just sit for a moment. Let's just let ourselves settle.